listeners, and thank you for tuning in to the R.G. Hardy broadcast today as we declare to all, souls are crying, men are dying, but together we can and indeed are compelled to win the lost. I believe you will be greatly blessed and spiritually informed by today's message, Six Pillars of Man's Creation, which the Lord gave to me recently in a time of inspirational study. The six pillars are equality, dominion, fertility, monogamy, heterosexuality, and occupation. Now, you don't want to miss one, so I'll be back to tell you how you can order our message, Six Pillars of Man's Creation.
Aren't we heirs of God and joint heirs, co-rulers with Christ? Are we not kings and princes with Christ, co-rulers with Jesus Christ? Everybody get an amen on that? All right, bring it down to your marriage. You are co-rulers in this marriage. Co-rulers. Amen. It's a vital union. And the word heir there means a piece of ground, a parcel that you've inherited, property that you've inherited that's become your possession and your responsibility. So God is saying that you are co-rulers over this possession that you have. Your marriage, your kids, your house, your cars, your bank accounts, etc., etc., etc. Do you understand that? And if you don't run your house and marriage like that, you're going to have a whole lot of jealousy, envy, bitterness, anger, and a lot of pulling and tug of war. You need to get it together. So they're not only partners in marriage, but he's going beyond marriage. He said in the grace of life. How many see it? A husband and wife is a powerful team standing against the attacks of Satan to destroy their marriage, to destroy their family, to destroy their children and all that God has done for them. He said, otherwise, let me tell you what's going to happen to you. Your prayers are going to be hindered. And the Greek word for hinder literally refers to the moment, the actual moment when someone who's running in a race, all of a sudden, another runner comes up next to him. You've seen it when they do the slow motion and takes his elbow and elbows him and knocks him on the side. That word hinder refers to that picture of being elbowed by someone else, by your foe, by your enemy, by someone who doesn't want you to succeed, doesn't want you to be blessed, doesn't want you to run on and thrive. You are being elbowed at that moment. And when that happens, your prayers are invalidated. You want to know what a reason is for some unanswered prayers? Oh, well, I need more faith. Oh, well, this and that and the other. Well, there's tons of them. We could be here till next year. But here's one most people don't think about. Strife in your home. Strife between husband and wife. Trouble in the home. Trouble in the family. Arguments. Just an air of tension. And your prayers are a waste of your time. Don't even bother until you pray the prayer of repentance. Until you ask for forgiveness and receive forgiveness, then your prayers will be heard. Otherwise, you open the door for Satan to come in and hinder your prayers. And do you think that if you open the door, he's not going to come in? He tries to get in when you don't have a door open. And you open the door? And you don't think that when you have that big fat argument that goes on for days and days because you do not obey the word, let not the sun go down on your wrath, be angry and sin not, that the devil's not going to take advantage of it? Come on, you're smarter than that. You are smarter and wiser than that. We know this stuff. We know it. You don't even need me to tell you this. But when we're in the heat of the moment, when you're in the heat of the moment, I want you to see yourself with the devil coming up and elbowing you. And maybe that'll get you to stop before you go any further. Amen? Now, who wrote this? Did Paul write this? Who wrote this? We just talked about. It's not a trick question, honest. Who wrote it? Peter. And I'm glad Peter wrote it and not Paul. Because Paul wasn't married and Peter was. Peter was married and he was married a long time when he wrote this. He was not a newlywed. He was married a long time, so his words carry great weight. And men, he spoke very strongly, as I just brought out, because he knew whereof he spoke. Amen? Now, let's real quickly go to Ephesians 5:31 and let's see what Paul says, because Paul comes at it from another angle. How many are still with me? I'm going to try to speed things up because I don't want to leave anything out. Help me, Lord, not to park too long at any one place. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as. Anytime you see even as, you need to see what else is being said. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water of the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. I'll tell you what, that verse makes me nervous sometimes. It's a lot going on there, amen? But let's move on. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth, even as the Lord the church. And there we see that cherish matches what Peter said about cherish her, give her cherish, give her honor. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be, say it like you mean it.
One flesh.
Did we read this in Genesis? Yeah. Amen. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. I'm not going to take a long time here, but Paul is showing this is a great mystery. You know, there's like 8 mysteries that Paul gave in his letters, and this is one of them. And he said, this is a great mystery that men are to love their wives just like Christ loved the church. And we know to what degree he loved the church, that he gave himself for us, that we could be part of his body, bone of his bone, and flesh of his flesh. And that's what he said that men ought to do, because he said, if you love yourself, then you will love your wife equally. Because when you love your wife, you're loving yourself. He said, he that loves his wife loves his own self. Amen. And then he says that he ought to love his wife as himself. This great ministry, what is he talking about? And this is one reason why Satan hates marriages and why he comes against marriages to destroy it. Because Satan gets the mystery. He sees that the marriage between husband and wife is a reflection of Christ and the church. Do you see that? The earthly reflection of the spiritual Christ and his church is the marriage of a husband and wife. And Satan knows that. That's one reason why he attacks marriages so fiercely, because he realizes that to him, he sees that vital union of Christ with his church, because we are one flesh, even as we are, he brought it out. We're Christ's body. We're Christ's bones. Same way with husband and wife. One flesh and one body. Amen? All right. Now we're going to talk about the 6 pillars that I said there would be 6 of them. There are 6 pillars that the foundations of marriage that God has. And the first one, and we've already really, I've talked about it quite a bit, is equality. Okay? We talked about Genesis 1:27. We read that he created man in what? In his own image, in his own likeness. Male and female created he them. So we're both created in the image of God, male and female. We talked about in Genesis 2:18 that the wife is the etzer kenegdo. She is his counterpart, his equal. We talked in 1 Peter 3:7. They are heirs together, equality in the grace of life. We've read how that he's bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, because she was taken out of my side. Adam said, she's part of me. She was taken from me. Amen? And we read there where it said one flesh. Now, we saw that it was in the beginning in Genesis. He said it. Adam said it. And then we saw, we read where that Paul said in Ephesians. Jesus Christ also said it in Matthew, the 19th chapter. Therefore, shall a man leave his mother and father, shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Amen? And Jesus, when he talked about this, and I'm not going to say much here because I want to use it under another point, but he made it clear that he was citing, which Jesus always did, whenever they cornered him and tried to trick him, the Pharisees and such, he always took them back to the scriptures, always did. And so he repeated in the Matthew, the 19th chapter, which we'll look at in a moment. So the first pillar of man's foundation is equality. which I've already brought out all those verses, okay? Now, let's move on to number two. We've discussed equality. The second pillar of man's foundation is dominion. How many remember what we read in the verses when we were in Genesis? Genesis 1:26. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, the beasts of the field, the cattle, over every living thing that moves upon the earth. And not only that, he said, let them have dominion. He said, let them subdue it. Amen? We are to subdue it. When they wanted to go out west and tame the wild, wild west and build homes and build places for families to live, they had to subdue the wild animals. Did they not? They had to subdue them. Otherwise, they'd have coyotes and wolves and bears and everything in their front lawn. Amen. Once in a while, there was on the news a couple weeks ago, it was a black bear running around somewhere in Baltimore County. Amen. And we're like, whoa, where'd it happen? That's because we've subdued them. They would all be here, but we've subdued them. You have to go somewhere wild, like Alaska, or somewhere in the heartland of Africa to see where they're not subdued yet. Amen. He said, you're to subdue it. He gave us dominion and keep your place in Genesis. But you got to read this in Psalm 8, verse 5. How many are following me? Are you learning anything? Okay. I love this. Psalm 8, verse 5. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Talking about man, because verse 4 says, what is man? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and has crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and all the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea.
Amen. Friends, I hope you are being spiritually intrigued and enlightened by our message, Six Pillars of Man's Creation. Not only that, but I pray that you are being stirred in your heart to take a stand against the tide of immorality and biblical revisionism that are undermining the very truths our nation is founded on. The Word declares, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And the Scripture pointedly asks, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? In this groundbreaking message, you will understand that God ordained the family to be the foundation for human stability and happiness. Even Jesus was raised in a family. But today, the so-called modern family has replaced the biblical design God intended, and Satan continues to relentlessly attack the family on many fronts. God created man on the sixth day, and the Genesis creation account defines six pillars which uphold and secure the family structure. Each of these provides a divine blessing, and the whole constitutes God's perfect plan for men and women. Equality, dominion, fertility, monogamy, heterosexuality, and occupation. Now, if you missed one of these, you can order the entire message on CD for a love gift of $10 or more for the radio ministry. Request offer SK161. That's offer SK161. Our mailing address is R.G. Hardy, P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland, 21203. Or you may go online at www.rghardy.org. That's rghardy.org. Again, the order number is SK161 for today's message, Six Pillars of Man's Creation, to Brother Hardy, P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland, 21203. Until next time, God bless you and Maranatha.